This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. It's Halloween, so today we spend time talking about mysterious things. Later in the program, WFAE Sarah D'Elia talks to the host of the hit podcast Lore, as well as the producer of the Amazon TV show of the same name, about ghost stories and folktales and their origins. But first, we look at conspiracy theories. Last week's release of documents surrounding the Kennedy assassination that had been under lock and key for 50 years reignited some dormant conspiracy theories surrounding that tragic event. A survey that came out this month found that despite the Warren Commission report, countless other research papers and books about the assassination, 60% of Americans still believe it was the result of a conspiracy. But conspiracies about who really killed Kennedy aren't the only ones floating around. There are people who believe the moon landings were faked. The 9/11 attacks have also elicited skeptics doubting the official version of events. But why? Where do these theories come from? Why do some find them not only plausible, but more believable than what officials say are the facts? To talk about that, we've invited David Bollinger and Marshall Brain to join us. David is professor of communication studies at UNC Wilmington. He joins us from the studios of WHQR in that city. Welcome to the program, David.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Marshall Brain is back with us. He's the founder of How Stuff Works and the director of the NC State University Engineering Entrepreneurship Program. Marshall, welcome back.
Good morning.
Good morning. If you'd like to join our conversation, you can email us at charlottetalks@wfae.org or search for WFAE on Facebook. Get to us through Twitter at Charlotte Talks. Well, David, you teach a course in conspiracy theory at UNC Wilmington, and I'm curious as to what that entails. Give me the course catalog description.
Well, it's in the honors program. I'm in the honors faculty, and I've been doing this about every fall for the last few years. I teach a three-hour course called The Rhetoric of Conspiracy, and it focuses on looking at the mechanisms in terms of rhetoric and communication and how conspiracies are created, formed, where they come from. And then I teach the students how to look at different kinds of conspiracy and then do an analysis of them. And they do this. They write a big research paper, and at the end of the semester, they do a presentation. And the nature of exploring the conspiracy, what I do is I allow them to choose the conspiracy theory that they would like to look at. So I get a variety. I get some people looking at some of the classics like JFK. 9/11 is a classic now. And then some of them have a lot of fun doing like Mars stuff, you know, and aliens. And you got your reptilians and everything.
That's a new one on me. I read yesterday that there are a lot of people out there who believe that the real leaders of the world are reptiles.
I mean,
disguised as humans, and that's like out of the TV show V.
Yeah. It's an old theme. That's what I call hitting. For me, that's hitting the wall.
So the young people who come to you to take that class, are they taking that class because they themselves harbor conspiracy theories of their own, and that's why it interests them? And if so, do they change their minds by the end of the course?
Well, what they have to do, first of all, they're honor students, so they're required to take a certain number of hours, and then they have to write a thesis. Mm-hmm. And they're all different majors, too, by the way. Mm-hmm. I think over the years, the popularity of the course, I have absolutely no problems getting seats, you know, filled. And so the word of mouth has been kind of, you know, helpful there. But also, I think that there's a general kind of curiosity about a lot of this stuff. And yes, I think there are a couple of students that do come in that are already preloaded, you know, but not that many. But, you know, there are a couple of them that are just definitely chomping at the bit, ready to get started on their research.
So, Marshall Brain, you dissected conspiracy theories for How Stuff Works with a focus on the conspiracy theories, I believe, surrounding 9/11. Given that 50% of the country subscribes to at least one conspiracy theory and that 19% of Americans believe the government was behind 9/11, how do these theories work? How do these things get started?
So we first have to understand that human beings are the most fascinating species ever. So a lot of this goes back to that kind of root thing about human beings. But I think either they get started because a person has an agenda and they're going to fit everything into their agenda, And that might be true, like, you know, the Las Vegas shooting happened at the beginning of October, and there are people who have the government are going to take our guns agenda. And so immediately there were conspiracy theories around the Las Vegas event. The other way you get into it, I think, is because you look at something and there's a piece of it that doesn't make sense to you. And so you look at that piece, and since it doesn't make sense, then you try to form a picture around that, and that eventually grows to a full conspiracy theory. So in the case of 9/11, you might have looked at the way Building 7 fell and say, well, that makes no sense. And therefore, you know, and then you expand out from there. Or JFK, you know, there's no way that someone 300 feet away with iron sights was able to make a headshot on a moving target. Mm-hmm. So you start with a little thing like that, and then it expands out from that core. I think those are the two big ways.
I'm wondering if we are, as Americans, particularly susceptible to this. Chapman University took a survey of American fears, which include questions about the levels of belief in 9 popular conspiracy theories. I don't know where Chapman University is or how valid this survey is, but 54% of Americans agree or strongly agree that the 9/11 attacks, the real cause, were being concealed by the government. 49% believe the government's concealing what they know about the JFK assassination. 42% about alien encounters. 42% about global warming. 32% about plans for one world government, and on and on and on. And it seems to cross all socioeconomic categories, because it says here the following are the personal characteristics that are significantly associated with higher numbers of conspiracy beliefs. If you are married, if you're a biblical literist, if you're a non-Judeo-Christian religion believer, if you're a Catholic, if you're employed, if you're cohabiting, if you're divorced or separated, if you're Republican, well, if you have it's everybody. It's everybody. So are we more susceptible to this in this country than other countries?
Well, I get a fair number of international students, and they talk about it pretty openly too. So, I mean, that's just the snapshot I have, you know, in terms of international students. I would like to add one thing to what Marshall said about how these things work, because I always break it down like this. First of all, there's an event. Something happens, right? Mm-hmm. It's usually bad for most purposes. There's an event, and it's usually pretty big. Then authority figures, whatever they are, whoever they are, get in front of it and try to explain it. And they explain it from the perspective as an authority figure. So then they say, okay, here's our explanation. Now go home. The problem is their explanations have holes in them. And then other people who are asking, you know, what Marshall said, some people have agendas. That's definitely true. But some people are asking, you know, clear and intelligent and meaningful questions. Right. And they're not getting the answers. I have a colleague at work. He did his dissertation on the JFK assassination. And he and I were talking about this the other day in the Warren Commission. Gerald Ford was on that commission. It was supposed to be a secret closed commission. And he would regularly go to Hoover and leak information about what they were finding about what the FBI was doing and what they weren't doing. So that lends credence to the idea that, you know, as Americans, we weren't getting the full skinny on what was happening just with JFK. And ever since then, it's, you know, it just keeps on going, because I guess as authority figures, you know, are just doing a crappy job.
I'm told by one of my producers, Chris Miller, that the Chapman University is in California. They do this survey every year, and that it is a credible study. Let's talk about the Kennedy assassination, because that a lot of people who are my age and older, maybe perhaps a little younger, baby boomers, etc., have a lot of different theories about the Kennedy assassination. It was a major experience in their lives. You have said, David, that conspiracy theories come from things for which there are no answer. But when it comes to the Kennedy assassination and also to 9/11, we do seem to have those answers, don't we?
No.
Okay.
I think there's a willingness and an interest, in, especially just speaking as an American, that you want to believe that the authority figures have your back. And you guys ever watch that show on Netflix, Stranger Things?
I have not.
Okay. Well, there's a funny line in there in the first season where, you know, there are these government people that are doing bad experiments and stuff. And so there's a family, a regular American family, and this is based in the early 80s. And the father is saying to the wife as the agents are ransacking their house, well, this is the government and they have their best interest for us. And I think that there are a lot of people that over time, and this has been cumulative, you know, a lot of things have happened historically that have just eroded this confidence. There's an erosion, not just in that, but also in things based on like technology, for example. You know, people won't believe a photograph anymore, for example. You know, so it's a lot of different moving parts here.
Well, can you trace it back, Marshall or David? Can you trace this lack of trust, this degradation in trust of authority figures to the Kennedy assassination? Because that happened at a time when not only did the president of the United States was he shot and killed, but then you had the Vietnam War going on and a lot of fomenting of distrust of authority figures as a result of that. Can you trace it back to that time period, or does it predate that?
I think that's my starting point. I'm 58 years old, and I remember I was 4 years old when Kennedy was assassinated. But you could cut it with a knife, and you could see my father, who was in his 30s at the time, who was an Episcopal priest. He was very optimistic. He was really looking forward to what was going to happen in the future, and it was a kick in the gut. And then growing up during the 60s, again, you could cut it with a knife, and there's this sort of atmosphere that kind of comes and goes, and as events begin to happen that are bad, you know, like I said before, and authority figures continue, they do a crappy job explaining it. Okay, then people are going to raise questions. But Marshall's right as far as people with agendas. As soon as the Las Vegas shootings happened, the first thing I did was, okay, let's see how long this takes. And Marshall, I think it took about, what, five or 10 seconds, and then they're coming to get our guns.
Is part of the problem also, Marshall, with that incident in Las Vegas, the fact now what is emerging is a disputed timeline of events, and with the sheriff's department saying one thing and journalists pasting together things from various video occurrences on people's camera phones that don't line up. So therefore, something's being hidden. Is that what's going on here?
Right. That is it. Feels like something's being hidden because it seems like in this day and age, they should be able to lay out all the evidence on a website or something. And you can just look and see, oh, this is true and this is true and this is true. And it all just is out there. But that doesn't happen. So, David, let me ask you, have you heard the idea that when the guard came up to the hallway, 200 shots through the door were aimed down the hallway? I hear the music.
Yes, you do. So it'll be a cliffhanger. We'll come back. We'll get an answer to that and more in a second. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about conspiracy theories, how they start, etc., with David Bollinger, professor of communication studies at UNC Wilmington. He joins us from the studios of WHQR there. And Marshall Brain, founder of How Stuff Works, director of engineering entrepreneurship program at NC State University. He joins us via Skype. So Marshall posed a question to you, David. Have you heard about the theory about the 200 rounds being fired into the hallway at that shooting in Las Vegas? I'm not sure what kind of a conspiracy that ties to, but Marshall, you might want to elaborate on that before David answers.
All right, 1 second of elaboration. It's a fact that is out there. You can go look it up on the internet, and you can see it was reported that 200 shots were fired down the hallway. So that seems like it should be easy to say that's either true or it's false. and here are the pictures that prove it happened. You know, you'd see a door with 200 holes in it, right? And the hallway would be totally sprayed with bullets. Or they would say, no, this isn't true, and we'd be done with it. So before the break, it was the authorities are leaving holes, and the evidence is up in the air, and this is how these things breed. And this is, to me, a good example of just one tiny element of the Las Vegas event.
Yeah. What I have heard, I've heard similar things, but including was he actually alone in the room, you know, that sort of thing. Did he have handlers there, which goes back to the whole Montauk mind control stuff, you know, that's been around forever. Again, once authority figures start making mistakes, I mean, I'm willing to give an authority figure the benefit of the doubt that in the heat of battle or whatever you want to call it, they're gonna screw up. And I can get that. The problem is they need to get in front of that as soon as they realize they make a mistake and say, we made a mistake. That's not what we thought it was. Mm-hmm. But nobody's doing that. So then, as I think Marshall will agree, that's where some people with agendas will start making stuff up. And it kind of goes back to people who are hardcore agenda people are going to look at a photograph, Marshall, of a door that's shot up, and they're going to say that was Photoshop.
How much of this comes from the fact that we're talking about the Kennedy assassination, we've moved on to the Las Vegas shootings, that these are horrific events.
Right.
That really, in the case of the Kennedy assassination, it really changed people's worldview. America lost its innocence that day in more ways than one.
Yes.
And then you have this latest shooting, which is just another example of a series of these shootings. And people just cannot wrap their heads around, A, that one person could be responsible for something like this. So it has to be a conspiracy theory, or that they simply don't want to live in a world that is so uncontrollable. How much of it is that?
Marshall?
I like the despair that something like Las Vegas or 9/11 causes certainly triggers a set of emotions that takes people in a lot of different directions, from we're going to bomb the Middle East to, you know, I don't want to live on this planet anymore. Yeah. So it is going way back to the beginning. Humans are fascinating, and we respond to tragedy in a variety of ways. And conspiracy theories can help maybe assuage some of that, or divert it, mm-hmm. or make the world a little more understandable.
Well, that's completely understandable in situations like 9/11, in situations like the Las Vegas shooting, about the Kennedy assassination, because these are horrific events and earth-shattering events. But the moon landings, that didn't hurt anybody. That didn't hurt anyone. And yet there are people who just don't believe that they took place, that they were staged on a Hollywood soundstage, and that the government is pulling a fast one. Why?
Well, I've been to the moon, and I'm here to tell you that it's...
I want to go to the moon. Wait.
Marshall, you should check it out, man.
One of these days, Alice. Pal. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ralph Cramden was there. That's right. I'm not really sure what to think about some of that stuff, because one of the things I was talking to your producer about earlier was that some people look at conspiracy theory also just as a source of entertainment, right? You know, we like spooky stuff. Today's Halloween, right? So we like aliens, and we like, you know, reptilians, and we like all the spooky stuff that you can read about on some of these repositories of different websites from all over the world, like Inicio Biblioteca Pleiades is this big repository that has servers in Iceland and Italy, I think, or something. And you can go there and just read about all this crazy stuff and have a ball. And it's fun and it's entertaining. And then you get to the stuff that's real, like 9/11, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or Las Vegas, and it's not entertainment.
Well, you know, in the case of 9/11, and people have written about this, you've talked about it, David, I believe. Marshall, you've done it as well. But the fact that people don't believe that these airplanes could possibly have brought down these two towers, because that's not how towers come down. It looks like they were imploded from inside. And if you look at the videotape, they say, of these towers coming down, there's no question that they came down, because we saw it live on television. But but you can see, they say, the charges going off in the lower levels of the building below where the jetliners hit. And the fact that the lumbering jetliner could hit the Pentagon without being detoured, the most secure city in the world and the most secure building in the world, and yet this airliner allegedly hit this building. Not possible. Couldn't have happened. Why didn't fighter planes shoot all these other planes down? And you say, David, that people are so convinced that this didn't happen that people are sometimes willing to risk their credentials when it comes to what they believe.
Well, and to me, when I do research on a conspiracy theory artifact, one of the things I have to look at is credibility or ethos. And a year ago on the 9/11 anniversary, an engineer and I think a physicist and an architect co-released a paper, and they just basically said, based on our training, should know that the towers fell based on controlled implosions. And they didn't speculate as to why somebody would do such a thing. They just simply said when they fell like they were being controlled demolition.
So when you hear things like that from people who know what they're talking about, do you think are they crazy or
no.
or what?
No, because I mean, when you're willing to stick your neck out and you put your name on the paper and your credentials and you're a real live person and these guys even had, I think, their facial photographs on there. To me, that's like, okay, I mean, if you're willing to do that, then that tells me something. Now, is it true? Is it all nailed down? Well, no, we don't know that for sure, but it's there, So what I always look for is when somebody says, I have a source that told me this, but I can't tell you who they are because, they're going to get bumped off. Then that's when I go, sorry.
And Marshall, a lot of these different conspiracy theories, the people who are really believers in this do a lot of homework. They do a lot of research. They write papers on it. They present their evidence. And a lot of it looks, on the surface, to be justifiable. How much of it turns out to be justifiable and just maybe a coincidental, but it could have happened this way, but just coincidentally, it did not happen this way.
Well, I think we have to look at the profit motive in here at least a little bit.
Yes.
Because my first interaction with this was the book Chariot of the Gods. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember
that
book.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Was that Von Daniken?
Yes, I think it's Von somebody. Yeah.
I remember reading that and just being fascinated. Like, it was an amazing book because he took a whole bunch of stuff and he compiled it together into a compelling story. In the case of 9/11, the documentary Loose Change was the thing that compiled everything together into a coherent story. The moon landings, there are people who made a ton of money off of that conspiracy theory. So if you can wrap it up in a good story and push it out there, you can make a ton of money with a conspiracy theory.
I would think social media and fake news purveyors are making this even worse and more believable to a lot of people, these conspiracy theories. What about conversations like the one we're having right now, even considering these things? Does that further cement their authenticity?
No.
Okay.
In my opinion, no. What we have to do is unpack all these things first. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is by having meaningful conversations and saying the things that you want to say, and then getting everything out on the table. And then we kind of deconstruct it and we look at it and we make our conclusions. Now, when we do that, we're still bringing our own. As Marshall pointed out, everybody has an agenda. It might be, it might go one way, it might go the other, but we're all looking for answers. We're all looking for things to try to wrap things together.
Hmm. Have conspiracy theories ever been proven to be right?
What do you think, Marshall?
The Earth is not flat. Okay. So that one's out.
You're sure?
Are you sure? Are you sure?
I am positive on that one. So I don't – that's a great question, and I know we're bumping up against the wall here.
Yep, we are.
Yeah, we are.
So,
real quick, a book that you guys should check out is called The Holographic Universe. It's been out since like 90. Mm-hmm. It's written by a physicist. I think his name is Bohm, B-O-H-M, I think, or something. It's a good read to look at the flat Earth thing.
And the name of the book quickly is?
The Holographic Universe.
Okay. David Bollinger, professor of communication studies at UNC Wilmington, and Marshall Brain, founder of How Stuff Works from NC State University. I think you were here. I believe you were here. Thank you for joining us.